And good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 75. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and it is indeed beautiful these last couple of days. Temperatures in the 50s on some days and in the upper 40s for most of the rest of the time. Has been very pleasant. A little bit rainy today, but prior to that, it has been downright balmy, especially when you compare it to what we've had. Now, these temperatures that we're having right now, they seem really warm to us, but, you know, in Florida, that's considered freezing. So, anyway, I did actually find out what they were doing in the alleyway, and I talked about that a little bit last time, that there has been construction going on in the alleyway behind my building for the last several days. And yesterday, finally realized that what they were doing, and I guess it wasn't the city after all. I guess I should have known because they were actually, you know, pretty efficient and quick about doing the work, which the city people almost never are. But it looks as though they were installing new metering equipment. I don't know if it's gas meters or electric meters or water or what. Probably not water, but it looked like electrical meters or something. And they've installed them along the alleyway in front of, I guess, kind of in back of, really, because the alleyway is behind most buildings, including mine. So I guess behind the buildings, they've installed these meters, and I guess the utility companies or whatever are installing these. So that kind of solves that mystery as to what they were working on back there. But the point of the fact is that they're all done now, and there's no more work going on in the alleyway, so people can come and go out of the alley as they wish. So I guess that's good news, and people can now come and go with minimal obstruction. And also with the warmer temperatures, we are having a lot of melting of the various bits of snow that are still left, and I think in another couple of days, all of the snow completely will be gone. Even the high drifts that we had that just kind of shrank and got a little bit crusty. It has been actually so warm that these are melting very, very quickly, and I think that we may have actually seen the last of the snow by the time of my next show, which is in about 5 days' time. Now, I have mentioned a couple of times on Facebook how crazy things have been time-wise for me. The next show that I do, this is kind of getting off topic here for a second, the next show I do is probably going to be another one of those semi-rerun shows. This is going to be probably episode number 5 with some commentary added. I'm going to try to do more commentary than I did on episode 4. But episode 4 actually stood up pretty well, and I don't know that episode 5 is going to be that much worse. You know, I hate to doing that, but things are crazy at the moment. And I do have some stuff that I have going on this weekend that may take some time away from being able to do that show. So I do apologize in advance. Anyway, getting back to the snow here, there are a few drawbacks about the melting of all the snow in the neighborhood. The melting of the snow uncovers all of the treasure that has been left on the tree lawns and in the alleyways by people's pets, and uncovers a lot of the garbage that has kind of been strewn about during the winter and gotten covered in ice, and so things are rather a mess. I do assume that the city will be around. The city actually does clean the alleys. Not very often, but occasionally they will send a street cleaning crew back through all the alleyways and get that out of the way. It happens three times a year maybe. Interestingly enough, you know, the street cleaning here in Chicago is pretty good. And we love to complain about city services and garbage pickup and all that stuff. We love to complain about that. But if you go to downtown Chicago, generally speaking, you're going to find, and especially in the areas that tourists go to, so that would be the Loop, the Magnificent Mile, those areas down there, those areas you're going to find very, very clean. And I think they must have street cleaning there almost every single day in order to keep it as clean as it is. And a lot of people have commented back when I was working downtown and was dealing with customers, you know, downtown all the time, that the streets downtown are actually very clean and they keep them that way. They're not quite so attentive out here in the neighborhoods that I'm not anywhere near downtown. However, you don't find a lot of clutter and stuff around on the street here. They send around the street cleaning once a week. Especially during the spring to fall time, not so much during the winter, because then you have to worry about things like snow accumulation and all that. They don't obviously want to spend the money on sweeping the street if it's just going to get covered in snow overnight anyway. So it is almost that time, and I do think that we're going to start seeing the street sweepers coming by pretty soon. Anyway, moving right along, I have an email here from our good friend Robert in Iceland. Now, this is kind of a follow-up to the commentary that I made in the last show in response to his last email. So I'm going to go ahead and read this out now. Now, as you may recall, Robert was lamenting a little bit of the effects of modernity on our culture. And that was sort of the thrust of his email. And I made some comments on that. And I'm not going to rehash them here, because I actually would like, if you want to know about it, go back and listen to Tom Harris USA episode number 74. And you can hear both Robert's email and my commentary in its entirety. However, this email is following up, and Robert had this to say. He writes, "Tom, I am actually in full agreement with you, and indeed my lament was more for architecture. There are many things today that are far better than the past. My focus, poor though it was, concerned the post-World War. I grew up in a town called Tavistock in the English county of Devon. It's a town that has so many buildings dating back to Norman times and still further back, a town where you can still see many buildings that once formed a large abbey. So I am used to seeing buildings that are still both elegant and functional, and it serves a need in us, or why else would one journey far and wide to visit the large houses of the past? My email to you the other day portrayed a person lamenting a lost youth, and yet it should not. Every day I rise from my bed with the intention of being a silly bugger once again, and for the most part I succeed. And I see only opportunities for us as a race to grab. I see a chance where we can walk around the streets without having to be on guard for some bloody car to come rushing around the corner. I want to see people reach down and pick up that trash and put it in the bin and not leave it for someone else, because rubbish acts like a magnet for other rubbish. We have to accept that we have to share our space with the untidy devils, and yet perhaps they might be less inclined to throw down rubbish if the path is clean. We can but help. If we try to care for one another, oh, what a place we could have. When as children did we learn to be stupid and embrace isms, racism, ageism, sexism, and many more things that seek only to separate us? Children have none of this, and yet there comes a point when they will start to become judgmental. It's the way of things, I guess, but one needs to look for the bright and beautiful things in life, because we do live in a world of plenty." And that's from Robert Lewis Pels in Iceland. Thank you, Robert. As always, it's great to hear from you. Tavistock, eh? I don't really remember anything about it, so I was thinking about it the other day, and I maybe have been there, but I don't remember. So probably not. If I don't actually remember it, I probably haven't been. But there are a lot of places in the Southwest that I would still really like to go. So maybe next time I'm over in the UK, I want to go back to that area. Because you're talking about Dartmoor, which is nearby, and I'd like to go there. You know, of course, any place that has a lot of antiquity, I enjoy visiting. I like to visit these stone circles and all that stuff. So maybe that should go on my short list of places that I want to go. Now, I passed through a lot of those towns in 1996. I don't remember specifically going to Tavistock. And it's possible that I didn't, and it's also possible that I did. And that it's funny, because some of the places that I know that I was back in that trip, and I go back to now, and don't remember them. And I don't think that they've really changed that much. It's just that they didn't make that huge an impression on me for whatever reason. Of course, you know, and some of those places I was only for a day or two, or, you know, some places I arrived at night and then left in the afternoon the next day. So I didn't really get to explore it. Like St. Ives is what a good example on the north coast of Cornwall. I didn't really get a good chance to explore it. Though I know, you know, I definitely stayed there overnight, and the weather was kind of miserable when I arrived, so I didn't really have a chance to explore the town much. But what you're saying about, you know, about children not having the isms, and yeah, that's a food for thought, definitely food for thought, because you think about it, and you know, kids get this stuff from their parents. They don't get it from other kids. They don't get it as an independent idea from themselves. They get it from their parents, they get it from their friends as they get older. And, you know, of course, their friends are getting it from their own parents. So they're getting it from their friends' parents' attitudes, which are rubbing off on their kids. And yeah, it's a real shame. And I think that is actually one of the ideas of, you know, having a strong public school system that helps to alleviate some of these concerns. Now, of course, there are a lot of people out there in this country who really hate the public school system. And they don't like some of the things that are taught in the public schools. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, this comes down to a religious preference. They don't like the fact that, you know, the schools are a secular institution that don't teach religion. And a lot of fuss is made about, you know, the removal of prayer in public schools in the early 60s. And, you know, what they don't realize, it was forced prayer, forced Christian prayer. And as society became more non-Christian, and this to say more diverse, and people from all over the world, and, you know, people who don't share the same belief systems, you know, forcing children to pray to the Christian God is just an insane idea. And, we're way better off in our society without that kind of rubbish, because this is just another one of those isms. We're much better off in having a secular school system where we don't teach religion. And there's no way to escape them entirely. You know, certainly not. It is the way things are, though. I mean, this is the way things go. This is the way that people get their ideas. They're not born with racism. You know, they're taught racism at home. And, you know, it's true. Yeah, there's nothing to argue about here, because I agree with you. Now, I'm just curious, Robert, about your ideas about architecture, because it sounds to me as though your views on architecture have a lot in common with those of Prince Charles. Don't know what you think about his ideas about architecture. I know that he is one of those people who really likes the idea of going back to the sort of traditional English architecture, and I'm not even sure what that even means. I mean, obviously you can't build, you know, skyscrapers that are thatched. But you never know. I don't know what they're trying to say. But I do understand, you know, what you're saying as far as, you know, buildings not being aesthetically pleasing and being soulless and not having any character. And I kind of see that too. But, you know, for all of the lamenting of the, you know, architecture styles of the past, they're not building buildings like that anymore. There are indeed some reasons why they're not. It has to do with the expense involved. It has to do with the materials involved. You know, people want their buildings put up quickly. But who knows? I mean, maybe those buildings in the past weren't as safe as they are now. I don't know, you know. This is me playing devil's advocate. Maybe there's a reason why we'd be better off having things be more the way they are now. I think in a lot of senses, the world is a better place now. Not necessarily architecturally speaking, but, you know, there might be some element of that in there. And of course, you know, you're free to disagree with me. And as always, if anybody disagrees with me, or if they agree with me for that matter, they should feel free to email the show. It's very easy to get your emails read out on the show, because I really honestly don't get very many emails, and I like reading them out on the show. So if you have an email, you can send it to tom@tomharrisusa.com. So in other news, well, the new mixer has arrived. Yes, I haven't gotten it hooked up yet. And I'm going to probably try to get all that done this weekend. But the mixer is here, the new mixer for the show, for the live show. And I just need to get a couple more bits and pieces in order to make it all work. Unfortunately, locating some of the cables and things has been more difficult than I had originally anticipated. Because I was thinking originally that I could just go down to Radio Shack and get these, the stereo cable to put from the mixer to the line in on the computer. But it turns out that nobody around here actually carries that particular cable. So it's a little bit annoying, and I might have to order it online, but we'll find out. I also need to get a set of headphones. And I am actually looking at other microphones as well, because I'm not sure that this microphone has quite the sound that I like, but we'll see. I did have a problem the other day. I tried to call into to Mikey Holt's show and wasn't able to because I wasn't able to be heard over Skype. And that just kind of, you know, it's so frustrating. You know, it harkens back to the problems I was having with that before that Irving helped me to resolve. And it's so frustrating because, you know, I was looking at the sound settings, all the, you know, the things, all the sliders were up. You know, there was definitely sound coming through because I was able to record myself, but I just couldn't be heard on the other side of Skype. And I don't know whether I was muted. I don't think I was muted. And my Skype settings were fine too. So it's just one of those weird things, and hopefully the mixer will help resolve that. And that was really annoying. But the new mixer is here, which means that we're that much closer to the Tom Harris Live program. And I believe that that is going to air on Saturday afternoons. So that would be 11 to 12 or 12 to 1 on the Saturday afternoon here in Chicago, which would be 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 on UK time, because I know that, most of my listeners right now are in Europe. But of course, nothing is set in stone yet. Now this show, this one that I'm recording right now, I was very concerned that this show might not even happen on time because I was so crazy busy at work over the last few days, and I'm afraid I've had to return to the nasty basement. Dun, dun, dun! The nasty basement of recent memory. And I, trust me, and had hoped never to have to go down there again. I've talked about this twice on previous shows. And the good thing is that we did a lot of clearing out of stuff in the nasty basement a couple of days ago. So the air down there has improved somewhat. And I think I talked about it that there had been a flood down in this basement and there had been all these boxes of financial records left down there. They'd gotten soaked in water and the people at the restaurant actually didn't do anything to remove them or anything. So they just let them sit there and mold. And the air down there was really bad. And, you know, they've been down there for 10 years. So finally, we have gotten to a point now where we're taking down the 2008 records down into the basement. And we actually got all those moldy old records out. So I'm hoping that the air down there is going to improve substantially, but we still have to worry about water coming down. So, of course, all of the boxes that we're moving down there have to be shrink-wrapped, which I don't think is going to help, but we'll see. So anyway, I was a little bit concerned that I wasn't going to have a chance to make a show this week because I've been so busy working overtime. And, of course, because I'm on salary, I don't get paid for the overtime. But I've just been coming home exhausted every night and not wanting to record a show. And, you know, last week's show was a little bit late because of the overtime. This week's show is probably going to be a little bit late, which means I'll be posting it as I record this tomorrow. But I think that's Wednesday. Wednesday evening is probably when this is going to get posted after work, even though I'm doing most of the recording before that. So anyway, yeah, so that was why I was afraid I was going to have to do another one of those semi-rerun shows. I haven't gotten any negative feedback on the last one I did. But I still don't like the idea of doing too many of those, even though I would like to get those early episodes back online. I just haven't felt like I wanted to do that. But of course, nobody complained, and it got just as many hits as it did the first time I put it up. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who haven't heard it. Anyhow, I think last time I talked a little bit about the comic book movie reviews, and I mentioned the last time that I have two reviews this time, and that is true. I watched two comic book movies over the last couple of weeks, and the first one was one that I'd actually seen before. It's a very old movie, and it's based on a French comic strip, and stars Jane Fonda as Barbarella. Now, this is one of those films that a lot of people, I don't think they realize that it's a comic book movie. Because the comic strip in question was popular over in France, and I don't think was ever any kind of a big deal here. So most people's memories of Barbarella consist of Jane Fonda rolling around topless on brown shag carpeting. which is, I guess, very typical of a 1968 French film. But anyway, it it's one of those films I think everybody should see it once and then maybe never see it again. As a film, it is not terrific, but I have to say it is campy. It's very tongue-in-cheek, doesn't take itself seriously at all. It knows it's silly. The restored version, which is available on DVD, is fantastic looking. It's very psychedelic, very late 60s. For sheer surreality, it's actually right up there with The Monkey's Head, which I talked about in a previous podcast. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, nowadays, you know, looking at it, it's very, very silly. But I think that adds to the charm. You can tell that the original comic strip is French, because whenever Barbara meets somebody and she doesn't understand what language they're speaking, she'll ask them if they speak French. So it's kind of amusing, actually. Also noteworthy about this film is a speaking role by the famous French mime Marcel Marceau. And now Pete noticed this too, but I noticed it when I was watching. We didn't watch it at the same time. Is that Jane Fonda in this movie looks and sounds a lot like Elizabeth Montgomery, who played Samantha on Bewitched. Maybe it's the era, because it did come from that same time period. But vocally, there were a lot of similarities, and of course there's a lot of similarities in the overall structure of their face. I do think that Jane Fonda is a better looking individual. She has a lot more sexiness than Elizabeth Montgomery, who I believe, you know, was almost cast because she was sort of the definition of the wife next door. But it's really interesting. Now, unfortunately, I understand that there is a remake of Barbarella in the works. That kind of scares me a little bit. The original is well worth a look, especially if you like a little cheese with your crackers. Now, the second film, and next up in our comic book movie reviews, is a movie that's kind of old now. It's embarrassingly old for me to do a review. But it's Spider-Man 3. Now, I have been led to believe that it was a really, really bad movie. And I've heard a lot of criticism from people who are big fans of the comic and people who are fans of the film. And nobody really seems to like this film. It doesn't get a lot of love. And having watched it, I kind of understand why that is. Now, it's not a terrific movie, but it is visually, of course, stunning. The special effects are wonderful. They has a very poor script as far as the actual plot line of the story goes. There was a lot of Peter Parker stuff, not a lot of Spider-Man stuff to begin with. They also tried, as they did with the other two in the series, to fit too much in. But it was mostly notable in this film, where they tried to fit in so many different little subplots and things from the comic they're trying to bring in. All of that stuff just kind of crammed into one movie. It just didn't work. It just wasn't good enough. And they should have kept it simple. The old saying, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. They should have had a linear plot with a couple of subplots, tied it all up at the end nice and neat, and it wouldn't have been such the huge mess. That being said, I didn't dislike the movie. And I didn't exactly want to dislike the movie, but I'd heard from so many other people that it wasn't all that great. But I have to say, you know, Tobey Maguire is to me almost an ideal Peter Parker. And, you know, maybe it's like, it's because I have a little stiffy for Tobey Maguire anyway. But I do think that he does a really, really nice job of playing Peter Parker. And for that reason alone, I thought that he did very well in the film. Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane was adequate. You know, she's not a great actress, but I thought that she did a good enough job. The villains were kind of one-dimensional. They didn't have a lot of depth to them. The supporting characters kind of got mostly ignored. James Franco as Harry Osborn they could have written him out and you wouldn't have missed him, to be honest. I mean, he was a deus ex machina. And it's not really necessary for him to have been in that story. They could have found out another way to resolve the issue at the end of the film without resorting to using that character. Now, the other character I've heard a lot of people criticize this casting decision before. I kind of agree and kind of not. And that was the casting of Topher Grace as Eddie Brock, also known as Venom. Now, they could have done this movie without the whole Venom storyline. They tried to have two supervillains as part of this, the other being the Sandman. They really kind of got away from the roots of the original character. The original character was not somebody that Topher Grace would be able to play. Topher Grace being from that 70s show, being notable as Eric Foreman on that program. That being said, I didn't think he did all that bad. I mean, the role was poorly written, but that's not to say that it was poorly acted. And I think that's something that you need to look at. And these sorts of casting issues are very typical of these comic book adaptations, because obviously they want to have people playing these characters who are known to their audience. They want box office names that are going to attract viewers. And Topher Grace coming fresh off that 70s show at the time. And, you know, so you do kind of have this all-star cast. And that's what they wanted. And that was what they were hoping for. But him as Eddie Brock just not really worked, you know. So I would have to say, you know, give Spider-Man 3 a solid C, maybe even a C+, for the film. Visually very stunning. There were aspects of the plot that were very true to the comic. There were aspects of the plot that weren't quite so close to the comic, but they wanted to fit in as many characters and subplots as possible, and that doesn't make for your most harmonious movie. Now, as I understand it, this is going to be the last of the Spider-Man films with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. And the reason why that is because neither one of those actors wanted to sign on to do a Spider-Man 4. So I've actually heard that they're going to be rebooting the series with a new Spider-Man and maybe going back to the beginning again. It almost seems like it's too soon to do that, though. So I guess we'll see. And I think that you can see the problems with other comic book movies in doing this sort of thing. And I think the best example of that would probably be the Superman series. And, you know, when they didn't have access to Christopher Reeve anymore, and they got this new guy to play Superman, and the movie wasn't a success, even though they're kind of riffing on that same continuity. But, like you said, I'm not going to get hung up on the continuity of the movies as compared to the continuity of the comics. And that's because, to me, the comic universe and the movie universe are two entirely separate things. And I certainly am willing to enjoy the movies on their own level, as long as it's internally consistent, as long as it isn't too far away from the basics of the character. You know, the things that made the character popular to begin with. That's really what you want to look at, and that's really what you want to stay true to. So, Barbarella, I would definitely give a B or B minus. Spider-Man 3, C+, perhaps. And I had, once again, not enough time to get to this comment from Scott Mitchell. Sorry about that, Scott. That's two shows in a row. And since next time is probably going to be one of my semi-rerun shows, it's probably going to be a while before I get to it. But I do promise you that I will get to this discussion that we're going to have of conspiracies. Ross Patzelt will be happy to hear that. I'm going to talk a little bit about conspiracy theories again. This time more concentrating on the idea of political bias and that sort of thing, because that was one of the issues that Scott brought up. And we will talk about that. Maybe not next time, but certainly then the time after that. Anyhow, I'm out of time now. As always, email address, tom@tomharrisusa.com. Thanks for listening, and this is Tom in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time.